Welcome into the Nebraska Football Show presented by Channel. Final week of the regular season as we head towards the Heroes game. It's Nebraska and Iowa. I'm Kyle Crooks, very special guest here on the show tonight. That is Addison Williams, coaches the secondary coach. It's your first time up in this area of the digs. The radio studio used to be in an old portion here at Memorial Stadium, so we had to took a little bit to get you here, and I'm not good at giving directions because I'm new here. So welcome in. This is all brand new. Good to have you.
I appreciate it. Nice offices you guys got up here. Nice studio.
So turning the page, Penn State's over with, and now an opportunity to get to an eighth win. And I mean, you grew up in this in terms of just college football rivalry games are a little bit more special. They mean something, especially to a lot of people in this area, Nebraska. Iowa, have the players had the education this week about what this rivalry means? And you're sort of new to it, stepping into it. So what does this game mean to the players this week?
It means a lot to them. And when I first got here back in December, they were coming off the game from last year and just hearing how they talked about it, hearing how passionate they was about it, and obviously coming up on the wrong side of that one. But those guys wanting to work throughout bowl practice and this offseason to get to a point where we're back at this game and have an opportunity to take over the rivalry, you know, and just seeing their focus this past week, although it's been a short week, and just the intensity in practice, I can tell that it's really important to those guys, so I'm ready to be a part of it.
How tough is it? You mentioned short week. You play a Saturday night game, which doesn't help, and then you guys play another Friday game. You're probably used to that aspect of it. Is it just everything gets moved up a day? The film session, the scouting reports, everything just gets scrunched into a smaller window, so it's a little tougher on coaches and players, I would imagine?
That it is. Everything gets moved up a day, but we were fortunate to have a bye week early on, 2 weeks ago, which we were able to kind of work ahead on multiple opponents, so that helped with the situation. But it's just a little earlier, a little later at night, but at the same time, it forces us as coaches to simplify things, which will hopefully help allow our guys to go out and play that much more faster.
Talking with Addison Williams as we chat some Nebraska secondary here on the Nebraska Football Show. Before we turn the page to Iowa, just your thoughts on the Penn State game from your perspective and what the guys did in the secondary. What are some things on tape that you're hoping to improve upon against this Iowa team?
Well, obviously, we didn't get it done. You know, we did not play well enough to win the football game. And what I want to see my guys and what I've challenged them on being better at is being more disruptive on the perimeter. I thought we've been good at that. From that standpoint, majority of the season with the down screens, the ball getting on the edge, but we did not do a good enough job there. They out-physicaled us, and so the challenge is for our guys to respond from that standpoint.
Overall, in terms of your group coming up to play the run and the physicality that everybody in the secondary has shown, have you been pleased overall with the physicality that your secondary has played with this year?
Overall, yes, I've been pleased with the physicality, but there are several moments where as a DBA, and it's hard, open field tackles, but it comes with the nature of playing a position, which I tell the guys all the time, man, we got to do hard things and getting the ball on the ground and eliminating some of those explosive runs. Because we talk about, yes, we got to eliminate the explosive passes, but we have to also eliminate explosive runs because a D-lineman can be out of his gap, a linebacker can be wrong, but the secondary guys are the guys that have to get the ball on the ground. And it's not only that open field tackling. One thing we talk a lot about is backside pursuit. Because a lot of guys will relax on the backside, and then, oh, crap, the ball is broke. Now they take off. Well, it's too late. We need to be running to the ball from the beginning. And now, instead of a 70-yard run, it's a 30-yard run. And you obviously don't want to give up 30-yard runs, but at least you get the ball on the ground and give yourself another opportunity to reset the deck and try to go stop them again on first down.
And in live sessions, you know, good on good, your guys are going up against Emmett Johnson, one of the better backs in the Big Ten. You saw two really good ones against Penn State. You'll see a good running game, running quarterback with Iowa. Coming here to the Big Ten and seeing the consistency and the quality of the running back and how much it tests guys in your secondary to come up and make those plays. But you see some of the talent at the running back position in this league. It makes it much harder, doesn't it?
It does. There's a lot of really good running backs in this league. Like you say, those two guys that we played last week are phenomenal. And the one thing that we do get to see in practice is Emmett. You know, in the offseason, we were able to practice against him a lot. Obviously, we can't tackle him, so that's a whole different monster.
Yeah,
once you get on game day, but just seeing the way that he runs and the physicality of it, he's definitely a good look for us. And I think he's just as good as anybody that we've played as well. And what it does from a secondary standpoint, it forces you, to, even in recruiting, like, hey, this is what you got to look for. You know, it's not just looking for guys that can cover. You got to look for guys that have the physical build to come down and have that mentality to come down in the box and be physical, and that can last throughout the course of the season because it is a very, very physical league with some really good running backs.
Yeah, testament of a good coach is somebody you can take, maybe somebody who's playing ahead of schedule, younger guy like a Donovan Jones and what he's turned into this year as a starting corner, and everything gets thrown out of whack when Malcolm goes out for the year with injuries. Sierra has to move into the nickel, and Donovan all of a sudden is now the guy at a cornerback. Development of Donovan Jones, what have you seen there? Because, boy, it just seems like it's been quick, his development.
It has been, and Donnie is a guy that he's always had the physical tools, but he played safety in high school, so okay. Just teaching him to play the corner position has been an ongoing process, and we're still working at it. But he's a guy that's always in the building, always want to come up, meet extra, watch extra tape. Sierra is a guy that's in that room, has took Donnie, you know, under his shoulder, under his wing, and helped him from a standpoint when we can't be on the field with him, but doing extra things with him, and not just with Donnie, with the entire group. But Donnie is a guy that welcomes that and want more of that, and that's how he's been able to prosper thus far in his early on in his career at the corner position.
Can you take me into the process? I mean, I hear safety to cornerback. How tough is that transition? As a fan, you can look at it one way and saying, oh, you're just playing a little bit over on the field, and maybe there's certain different skill sets that go into it. But just how hard is that?
It's extremely hard, and like we play with five DBs, but it's really three different positions because you got two safety spots, you got a nickel that's his own world, and you have the corner position. And with the style of defense that we play, the corners are so much closer to the line of scrimmage than a safety. Safety 10, 12 yards back, they have a little more time to process things. At corner, things happen faster. And so it's a totally different position. And like I said, he's done a good job of just taking the coaching, you know, from myself, from Coach Butler, Coach Snow, and then the guys that have played the position, just bringing them along.
And Andrew Marshall, you know, a lot of people said coming into the year, okay, how does he play up from FCS to now FBS and Big Ten? And he certainly has. I mean, talk about another guy who comes into this program, is well coached and is in your system and has seemed to thrive. Have you seen him come in August and, you know, in fall camp where there was a chip on his shoulder to sort of prove himself?
Yes, somebody just actually asked me about that the other day. When did I realize that he was going to be a player, or did I realize it? And I didn't know that he would have as much success as he's had thus far this early. But back during mat drills in January when he first got here, just seeing the edge that he had, you know, in the drills when he was competing against some of the other guys. And Dane Key is one of the guys. I didn't know much about Dane other than he was a really good player at Kentucky. So you take a guy that's coming from the SEC that's a successful player, and you got a guy that's coming from the FCS, and just seeing how he did not back down from those challenges told me a lot about him at that point. And when guys would, you know, kind of snap at him, he would snap back. So you knew that he had the correct mentality. And obviously from looking at his skill set on the film, we knew that he had that. But then you add the mentality to it, and that's what has helped him become a good player.
Chatting with Addison Williams, talking Nebraska secondary, and you're in an interesting situation because John Butler coached the DBs. He's coached the DBs at the NFL level. And what's your relationship like with him? Because he has a 30,000-foot view. He's dealing more with the defense as in a global sense. How do you two work together to see what's working? Because I know he probably always has an eye on the secondary.
Always does, and always will, you know. And I welcome that. Because at the end of the day, it helps me become a better coach. And one of the things, and I believe one of the reasons that I was hired here, just from the initial conversations with myself and Coach Butler, we had a lot of the same philosophies and a lot of the same thought processes, whether it was technique, whether it was scheme, how you teach this, how you teach that. So I think it was easy just to slide in and fit right into the room that he was in last year. And he has nothing but the utmost trust in me with that room, because like I said, he easily could micromanage it, which he does not. But at the same time, he's done it for a long time at the highest level, and so he have different ideas, and we bounce ideas off each other, and we've had a really good working relationship.
How about Phil Snow, having a voice like him on the defense helping you guys out? What's that like?
Snow, he's the OG of it, man, and I'm really blessed to be in the situation that I'm in. You know, I'm confident in myself as a coach and what I've learned over the years, but you're always looking to learn new things, learn, you know, a different edge, and to help your players become the best possible players they can be. And JB and Snow have been nothing but helpful, whether it's conversations about, you know, off the field stuff, getting them motivated, how to run the meeting rooms, technique on the field. And mainly a lot of things that we all debate about is just the different ways to play this coverage or that coverage. And I think it's all helped. And we all are really cut from the same cloth from that standpoint. So that definitely helps as well.
Yeah, a lot of great stuff here in segment one with Addison Williams, just kind of scratching the surface with some of the guys that have had a great season in Addison Williams' room. Fans, Pioneer is proud to partner with Iowa and Nebraska for the Pioneer Heroes Game to recognize and celebrate local heroes. Also, as a farmer, challenges arise daily with the new enhanced Channel Seed brand. You can tackle them all. Rise to the challenge with Channel. Learn more at channel.com/rise. In our final segment of the show, we'll talk to Deshaun Singleton. Jessica Cootie has a conversation with him as part of this week's Cornhusker conversation. We'll continue next with Coach Williams, talk about Iowa and some of the other standouts in the secondary. That's next. Back here on the Nebraska Football Show, presented by Channel. Kyle Crooks here with Addison Williams. We'll chat in the final segment with Deshaun Singleton. Jessica Cootie has a conversation with him. Of course, big week, Nebraska and Iowa in the Pioneer Heroes game. So excited about that Friday kickoff. It's an early kickoff. As a player, Coach, did you enjoy, you know, at South Carolina those noon kickoffs, or did you prefer the night games? What was best case scenario for you?
Well, we really didn't have many noon kickoffs. It was a lot of night games, and I grew to love the night games. You know, as a player, you got all day to kind of relax, watch some of the other games, and really get your mind right. And so I really did enjoy it, but now that I've been coaching, I hate them. I'd rather get up and, hey, let's get it rolling. You know, let's not sit around the hotel all day. Let's get the guys up, get them going, and let's go kick the ball off.
You played for Spurrier, and I'm coming from Florida. That was my previous stop, and he's still there as an ambassador and still loves the game. He does talk shows and all that, but he was a character in his own right. He had a lot of success at South Carolina. Of course, the success he had as a head coach at Florida. But what was it like? Do you have a Steve Spurrier story or anything that stands out in your time there?
The biggest thing with Coach is what you see is what you get, you know, and not so much a story, but something that's grown with me in my coaching career. Obviously, my name's Addison, and growing up, all my friends called me AD. Mm-hmm. So I get to South Carolina as a freshman, and I'm probably maybe a little over a year into it, and Coach Spurrier's like, did you know that my great-grandfather's name was Addison Frazier? I was like, no, Coach, I did not know that. So he's like, yeah, and we called him Addy. So is it okay if I call you Addy? And still to this day, that has become my nickname in the football world, whether it's former players, former teammates, coaches, guys I worked with, that has just stuck with me over those years. So that I will remember him for that.
It sounds like a Spurrier thought, just something that comes out like that. He's an interesting character. But going back to your room, we talked about some of the young guys and, you know, some of the veteran guys too. I mean, Sierra Wright, I feel like he's made a lot of money this year in terms of what his next level is going to look like. I'm interested from an expert opinion. What has stood out? Why has he been so good this year?
Well, it started with the offseason that he had. And I tell guys all the time, the game of football can take you many different places in life. And you got to use it as a GPS. But at the same time, what you put into this game, you will get out of it. And he has put his all into it this offseason. I can't speak on what he has done before now, but this offseason he really put his all into it. And even just throughout the course of the season, always in the building, always watching film, always asking the right questions, you know. And him playing nickel is something that we talked about. Hey, we're going to kind of train you at the position a little bit. And we would throw him in there a play or two here and there throughout the course of fall camp, not knowing that, you know, we're going to end up losing Malcolm. Mm-hmm. And once we lost Malcolm, that time that he spent in the building increased, just trying to learn to play the position, because it's so different from corner, because you're so involved now with the front, with the backers, based on cover. So it's a lot of different intricacies with that. And as the season has went on, he's definitely grown in that position.
Yeah, I like that.
I agree with you. He's helped himself.
Yeah, and I like that you brought that up, because my follow-up was going to be just how different it is. But it sounds like it is a lot different than playing that traditional corner, playing
that
nickel.
It is, because you play corner, okay, you play cover two, you play the flats, you reroute. You play man coverage, you go press them. You play cover three, you got a deep third. Well, now playing a nickel spot, yeah, you play man on the slot, but now are you playing a curl flat, or are you playing, you know, in the apex, where now you have to read an offensive lineman, or, hey, the tight end snipes back, now you got to fall back like a linebacker would, you know. So it's kind of, you're playing at the nickel spot is really a safety, a linebacker, a corner. You know, it's a lot of different spots there, and everything is happening so much faster because you're so closer to the ball.
You know, sometimes coaches say that players like to get in extra work, and sometimes they say it, and it's not reality. But for Sierre Wright, I remember firsthand going to interview him, and I had to wait an extra 20, 30 minutes after practice because it was you and him out on the field, and that is Sierre Wright. It seems like every single practice he's out there for just, he's the last one off the field. It's cliche, but for him, it's honestly true.
Right. No, that is true. And that's why he's put himself in the position that he's put himself in. And another thing that he does on Monday is the players, technically their day off, but he has all the DBs in the indoor for 45 minutes to an hour doing drills. I know Coach Rule talked about, we were on the road, I believe playing Maryland. And, we did a walkthrough before the game, but him and the DB stayed over at the, would have been a later game, they stayed over at the high school that we walked through at just to get some extra work because they can't get it done the night before. And he's really put himself in the best position and put his all into it this last go-around.
Chatting with Addison Williams, who's had a tremendous season coaching these guys on the back end. Deshaun Singleton, when you look at his leadership and what he's provided to this program as a whole, JUCO guy comes in, just seems like he's a bright personality. How would you describe Deshaun Singleton?
Deshaun, he's quiet, but he have a very infectious attitude where everybody flocks to him, you know. And once he's in smaller group setting, he's one of the funniest guys that we got. But the larger group setting, he really don't say much. He kind of just sit back and watch that more mature guy in the group, but everybody in that locker room and everybody on the coaching staff have a lot of respect for him with the way that he works, with the way that he prepares, with the way that he goes out in battle on game day.
What is it about a Rex Guthrie who, you know, reading, didn't have a whole lot of offers originally out of high school, had an injury in high school, and all of a sudden he's wearing a black shirt in October, earns a black shirt in October, and what is it about him that sort of flashed to the coaches?
Well, I would say first, Rex has the traits. You hear Coach Rule talk about traits all the time, and he didn't have many offers, but he had the traits, and so that's why he received the offer from here, and obviously that was before I got here, but just looking at his numbers, looking at his size, that's why they went on him. And Rex is another guy that works his tail off. He really, really loves ball, you know, and he, from January when I got here, and he was really just kind of getting back healthy, wasn't always there, but just to see his progress and the way that he's worked and worked and worked and worked. And he just waited for his moment, because a lot of guys, you know, can get down when they're not playing quite a bit, or, hey, I got this guy in front of me, that guy in front of me, I'm not going to have an opportunity. But you never sensed that with him at practice. Every day he came to practice like, hey, I want to earn some playing time, man. He got his moment, and he took it and ran with it.
Yeah, he certainly has earned it. All right, this matchup, we teased it going into break, but Iowa, good football team. We know what they want to do historically. Keys for your guys. What do you see in Mark Gronowski and his ability to maybe throw it around a little bit?
He's a really good player. He's won a lot of college football games, thrown a lot of touchdowns. Yep. And I have made sure that I let those guys know that, yes, they are going to line up and run the football, but they do have a quarterback that's more than capable of throwing the football. And they got a good group of receivers as well. And so the biggest thing for us, first, we'll start with our mentality and the physicality, whether it's covering guys, being aggressive in coverage, or fitting the run. But it's going to be a big, big game where we got to make sure we're reading our keys, because it's going to be run, run, play action, run, run, RPO, run, run, play action, which they know. So we got to do a great job of reading our keys and playing with unbelievable physicality when we're at the point of contact, whether it's getting off blocks on the perimeter or tackling the ball carries.
Any similarities to any opponent that Nebraska's seen this year? Like any similarities to what Iowa does to maybe what Penn State does, or is Iowa and it's kind of its own boat in what they do?
No, I'll say Penn State is they're similar with the style of play. They don't have as many funky formations and shifts as Penn State does. Minnesota, Michigan, along those lines, Northwestern, they all run heavy under center play action teams. Will get in the gun. And so at the end of the day, it's going to be all about our mentality and physicality that we come to play with.
Now, you've had an opportunity to embrace Memorial Stadium, see it for yourself firsthand, the environment, the sellouts. What's your initial impression of what you've had a chance to be a part of?
It's an unbelievable environment. having a background being in the SEC, everybody said it means more in the South and all that, and it's a lot of really, really good stadiums down there, but I would put this stadium up against any one of them. It's an unbelievable experience.
Yeah, and that blackout was pretty cool, wasn't it, USC? And
yes, it was. That's one that I hope we can keep that one going. That was a pretty cool deal. It was a huge hit for not only our players, but in recruiting as well. And so that's one that I would love that we can continue that.
And we'll shout out the seniors as well coming up in the next segment. We'll have Deshaun Singleton in our final segment as well of the Nebraska Football Show. Fans Pioneer is proud to sponsor the annual Iowa Nebraska Heroes Game by honoring local heroes that live and work in the communities we serve every day. Also, contact 811 2 days before you dig to protect your underground utilities and yourself. It's free. It's easy. It's the law. Final segment with Addison Williams. That's coming up next on the Nebraska Football Show. Welcome back into the Nebraska Football Show, presented by Channel. As a farmer, challenges arise daily. With the new enhanced Channel Seed brand, you can tackle them all. Rise to the challenge with Channel. Learn more at channel.com/rise. Final segment here with secondary coach of the Huskers, Addison Williams. I'm Kyle Crooks. Well, we want to talk about some great secondary play, especially in Husker history. That brings us to our Alumni Hall. Alumni Spotlight. Alumni Hall is your ultimate Husker shopping experience with the largest and best selection of apparel, vault gear, and tailgate accessories. Shop their two Lincoln locations or alumnihall.com. Alumni Hall, where Huskers shop. And let's take a dip into the past, or one of the best corners in Husker history.
Back to throw is Landry Jones. Has some time. Steps and throws. Passes. Picked off. Prince Amukamara. 20. 15. Prince is spinning around at the 12-yard line. Still on his feet. 10. 5. And gets it driven down to the 1-yard line. And the Huskers have it at the 1 of the Sooners.
All-American. First team All-Big 12. Was a team captain. First-round draft pick. Had a great NFL career. And Prince, one of the best to do it around here, Coach.
Yeah, definitely so, and I was fortunate to meet him earlier in the season. Okay. Talked to him on the phone before, then met him in person, but he's a guy, and Keith Williams that works with us, they played together, I believe, and they have a pretty good relationship, and he's a guy that we're going to try to get involved with some of the recruits, you know, just talking about his experience here, and obviously he's a first-round guy, and all recruits like to
guys
like that.
Embracing the past, and you know, how much do you – I'm sure you do show film of current NFL guys or guys that are just do it at a really high level to emulate maybe what they might see. Is that something you do in film sessions?
All the time, man. And the main reason is just to show those guys that what you're being coached here is the same thing that these guys are doing. So why wait to learn it then when you can try your best to perfect it now, so when you get there, you're already ready?
With all the ways that the rules have changed to help the offense, it's made your job and the jobs of DBs that much tougher. The techniques that you learned when you were a player to what you have to teach now, is it radically different where you can't be as handsy and physical?
Yes, it is. But at the same time, you still have to find ways to be physical and stay connected with the receivers, because if you don't touch them at all, they're just going to push you down, and now everybody going to be ready to get a new DB coach because they're always on the ground, you know. But it's a very thin line. It's a very thin line, and we work top of the routes quite a bit here just so we're not grabbing on in-breaking routes or routes that are breaking back down the stem. And then, obviously, everybody's talks about the go ball and corner should look and all of that. If there's times where you should look, but there's times that you got to go play through the receiver. And just the biggest thing is staying connected but not grabbing. That's when you get in trouble, when you're grabbing. And so really, really try to work hard on that with the guys down the field and not panicking, putting those guys in that situation in practice as much as we can in a control environment. So when they're in the game, it's not new to them.
Yeah, I think it's fascinating because it makes your job so much harder, but it makes the teaching so much more important in what you guys do in the spring and in the summer leading up to a season. Senior day for your guys specifically, you know, Marquise Buford, Deshaun Singleton, Sierra Wright, when you just think of, you know, some of the guys in the secondary that have meant so much to this program. I know you're sort of parachuting in for the first time here, but the leadership in your group and some of the guys that'll be celebrated on Friday, what does that group mean to you?
It's been an amazing group, and the reason being, most of those guys have been through 3 or 4 defensive back coaches, you know, and so to come in here and them give me the opportunity to learn their respect, because I could have came here and they were very closed off, but they welcomed me with open arms, and obviously I had to prove myself to them, and I'm sure they trusted Coach Rule, trusted Coach Butler, they were going to bring the right guy in, but me just going in that room after all that they've been through during their time here and building relationships with those guys, building lifelong bonds with them, and also helping, you know, further their careers on the football field and their learning on the football field to help them reach their goals and dreams. It has been really amazing, and I'm really, really proud of that group.
How much have you grown as a coach from when you started as a, you know, a student assistant at South Carolina to now?
Oh, man, I've grown a lot. Just the way that I go about things, you know, and just my different experience and stops along the way, it has really helped me. And I talked to the guys not long ago about my son. My son is on the autism spectrum, and that's something that has helped me extremely just with patience and slowing down and becoming just a better teacher. And I think me becoming a better teacher and being able to have patience to get my point across to some of the guys that it may take a little longer to, that's what I feel has helped with the development of a lot of those guys and them understanding exactly what we're asking and not just me yelling at them, hey, you need to do this or do that, but taking the time to show them exactly what we respect. And I think the guys respect that.
And no matter what you do, you have mentors in what you do. And at all different stops and at levels of your career, some of those mentors can change. Is there one or two mentors for you that stand out that sort of have helped you get to this point in your career and been a successful stay here so far at Nebraska and what you've been doing at the secondary, but it didn't start here? There's a lot of steps along the way.
No doubt. It's several guys, and I hate to single guys out, but I would say Lorenzo Ward, who's at Clemson now, he's one that got me into coaching. So I will forever be indebted to him, because without him kind of pushing the envelope on it, I don't know if I may have gotten into it. Maybe I would have gotten in later and my career path would have been different. And then the other guy that I've spent a lot of time with is Gus Malzahn, and that has helped me just from a big picture standpoint. He always talked big picture, big picture, big picture, because as a position coach, at times you get so caught up in just your position and not understanding the grand scheme of things. And I think he's really helped me from that standpoint. He's a guy still have a relationship with and talk to this day.
And that was, you know, 2019, you were a special assistant to him at Auburn, and then, of course, time at UCF. So seeing the way that he has, he's developed himself as a head coach, what are some of the things that maybe is it just sort of that global perspective that he provides and just having that different viewpoint and looking at everything as a whole? Is that the way you've looked at Gus Malzahn and how he's helped you improve?
Yeah, it's that overall viewpoint, but when you have that big view, but then when you're dialing in on this area, really, really focusing in on it. And then when you're dialing in on this area, just having that laser focus on each area that it may be that you're dialing into, but also being broad enough to be able to step back to see the big picture and how all the pieces fit together.
Yeah. So how have you liked Lincoln just personally for you living here? It's a little colder now than what it was in Orlando. You know, I'm coming from Gainesville, so same thing, going through it all. But how's the transition been?
It's been amazing. It's been amazing. The people here are extremely nice. You know, at first I'm like, oh, it's kind of weird. But I just realized that's the way that it is here, and I love it. My wife loves it. My daughter, she's in daycare here. My son he's in first grade, and so they love school and daycare, so I'm a happy camper right now.
I know you're busy with getting ready for Iowa, but have a great Thanksgiving with the family, and enjoy this one, this first Nebraska-Iowa game for you. So I appreciate you coming up here and chatting with us.
Appreciate you. Happy Thanksgiving as well.
Addison Williams, great job here on the show tonight. He's done a great job this year with this secondary. Fans, as a farmer, challenges arise daily with the new enhanced Channel Seed brand. You can tackle them all. Rise to the challenge with Channel. Learn more at channel.com/rise. As part of the Cornhusker conversation, Jessica Cootie chats with Deshaun Singleton. That comes up in our final segment, which is next. Final segment of the Nebraska Football Show presented by Channel. Tremendous three segments with Addison Williams. Done a great job with the secondary this year for Nebraska. Has been in that top three in pass defense all year long. So tremendous job and a great conversation about his journey and his guys and their development this season. Fans, your Cavs deserve a strong start, and Purina Stress Care 5 delivers. Now available at Central Valley Ag. Stress Care 5 with RX3 immune support technology is here for all producers. Learn more at cvacoop.com. Central Valley Ag, the official co-op of Husker Nation. It is Senior Day coming up for the Huskers on Friday morning. Jessica Cootie is part of her Cornhusker conversation that you'll be able to hear on Husker Game Day coming up on Friday. But a little bit of a snippet of that, and a great job. Jessica always gets into it with the stories of these players. So we'll play a portion of that conversation coming up right now. Deshaun Singleton with Jessica Cootie.
When Coach Rhule got here, I mean, there's this senior class has been through so much, right? And when you guys got here, what kind of pride, what kind of, I guess, responsibility did you kind of take on? And especially throughout the years since you've now been here with him for multiple seasons, what kind of responsibility did you guys take on to try to help implement what he wanted to do with this football program?
We just got to make sure everyone's, you know, is dialed in, locked in on the process. Like, you got to bring the younger guys along, because a lot of people just walk in. I mean, obviously, I've been here every year with Coach Rhule since he's been here, and I've also been a part of different staffs. But I mean, when young guys come in, you got to be able to bring them along and actually show them the ropes of how Coach Rhule wants things operated and stuff like that. So just got to make sure, you know, ain't nothing in the locker room, like, no leeches or nothing that goes on in the locker room and just, you know what I'm saying, weed the bad things out. And
what made you believe and buy into that from the beginning to be able to start help with that process?
I mean, shoot, before this, we was losing. So, I mean, I'd be stupid to not buy into something. I mean, before this, we ain't never won nothing. That's why.
You know, just your overall game, describe where you were from when you got here, when you transferred here from junior college to where you are now.
My overall game, I feel like just me just watching film and studying football, like, I'm nothing to the player I was that first got here, you know, because I just transitioned from, like, playing quarterback out of high school and transitioning to defensive back. And I feel like I was just playing more off athleticism in junior college. I didn't really, you know what I'm saying, watch film and things of that nature. I mean, when I got here, though, and I started learning concepts, I started learning just parts of the field and just situational things. I mean, it makes you play even faster. And so I honed into that because I obviously want to be the greatest. I want to be great, and I want to be play the fastest on the field. And I just fell in love with that, doing that, just studying film all the time consistently. And, but yeah, I'm nothing compared to what I was.
Going back to when you were out of high school, what was that feeling like, kind of the uncertainty of what your future is going to be? I know you believed in yourself, but when you didn't have the kind of opportunities you hoped you would, how did you go into that knowing, hey, it's going to take me to grind this thing out to get to where I want to be?
I mean, obviously, I just knew I was going to figure it out. Like, I wasn't, if you say, like, scared or nothing. Like, my season ended when I was a senior in high school, and, you know, I just had to figure it out. Like, I was applying to jobs and stuff like that, but you know, God obviously blessed me with the opportunity to go play junior college ball, and, you know, I had nothing else, so I just took the shot and did it. I wasn't really expecting nothing to come out of it, but, you know, I always had that feeling, I always had to believe that I could do something, you know, big with it, and it got me here at Nebraska. But, yeah, I wasn't – like, I was prepared to take on whatever life gave me.
Do you ever think about that? Hey, I was applying for jobs outside of football before.
Yeah.
And now where you're at?
Yeah. It was funny, though, because my brother, like, he was we was younger, and, like, I wasn't doing nothing. So he was calling me a bum, like, every day. He said, you a bum. And I was like – and that just motivated me, too, because I knew what he was doing. So I'd get out – kept on training and stuff like that. So he really motivated me to keep on, like, hey, you can do something with, you know what I'm saying, your talent. So, like, that's what made me keep, like, stay training on it, kept my mind on that football stuff. Yeah.
So what opened the door for you to have the junior college opportunity?
Coach Mo Gray and Coach Cody Cook, they came and saw me. I mean, one of my little partners back home, he called me, and because he was already at Hutchinson, and they was like, they see my talent, and they wanted me to, like, take a visit. I was like, I ain't taking no visit. I'm coming. You know what I'm saying? So I ain't even take a visit or nothing like that. I just took my bags and I hit the road, drove up there to Kansas.
So you had one junior college offer
yes, ma'am.
In high school.
Yes, ma'am.
To where you are now, where you have a good shot of going to the next level. How did you do that?
It's just belief and just being persistent. You know, I just started just grinding every day, trying to just work on my craft. And, you know, when you fall in love with that, because I got here, I wasn't even playing, as you can see. But I knew that if I kept on just keeping at it and building myself, it'll turn me to the player I want to be. And I feel still like I ain't done. And but, yeah, it's just being persistent and just grinding every day and just working at your craft, trying to constantly get better.
So you were a high school quarterback.
Yes, ma'am.
How did you make the transition? What made you, I guess, realize that you had a better future playing defensive back?
My high school coach Brandon Mitchell, because he took me to, like, because I didn't go to any, like, camps or nothing like that, but, like, my senior year, it was the COVID, so, like, we kind of went to, like, I was a senior, so we went to some camps. Like, that's when they was letting, like, the COVID kids go to camps that didn't have any offers and stuff like that. So he just started putting me at DB, and I was excelling at it. Like, I'm catching picks. I'm at over there at LSU, you know, just making plays out there at safety. And, you know, I got some looks, but, you know, that ain't nothing if you don't got no offer in your hand. But, but yeah, and then he was like, Sean, I think you can play DB. And so I just took that opportunity.
Wow. So what would be your message to a young kid that might not be getting recruited, might not being seen, but has similar dreams as you did at that age?
Man, don't worry about the outcome. Focus on your process. Because, I mean, if you think about the results of what you're doing and you ain't doing nothing to better yourself, when opportunity come, I mean, you ain't going to do nothing with it. So always be prepared. Like my coach used to tell me, he said, stay ready so you don't got to get ready. And just hone in on your process. Keep grinding because God going to bless you.
Great stuff with Jess and Deshaun Singleton, who's certainly been a leader on this defense and was one of those bright spots for the Huskers against Penn State at his first career sack in the game. So great to hear from Deshaun. Still have an hour of Sports Nightly. Jessica Cootie will hop in studio. We'll have our picks. There's a lot to get to over the next hour. So hope that you can join us as we continue to talk Nebraska and Iowa. Our pregame coverage starts at 7 a.m. Central Time with Husker Game Day. Ben McLaughlin, Damon Benning, and then kick off a little past 11 a.m. Myself, Damon Benning, and Jessica Cootie with the call. For Josh Hilkeman, for Deshaun Singleton, Jessica Cootie, and Addison Williams. I'm Kyle Crook signing off for now. This has been the Nebraska Football Show.